welcome one and all to the Dallas Design Sprints podcast. I'm Robert Scrobe. This week, I've got somebody really special for you. Her name is Brandi Shade. She is a Gallup Strengths Performance Coach, a speaker and consultant on culture and innovation, and a fantastic person I've had the chance to work with over the past couple of years. She's currently at Saber Labs as the principal innovation catalyst for her team. I've worked with her extensively on Clifton Strengths for myself and the team, and I thought she'd be a great guest to come onto the podcast to showcase how leading with strengths makes a real difference, not only in your professional outlook, but with living the day-to-day. Hope you enjoy the show. Hey, Brandi, how's it going? Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Hi, Robert. It's nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
You are a Gallup Strengths speaker. You are a coach and consultant on innovation and process. What's fascinating to me, even when I first met you, was the length and depth of your background, your professional background. But you've done a lot more than that. So as an intro to who you are, why don't you give a little bit of an explanation of where you've been?
By trade, I got a degree in actuarial science. So for those people who don't know, that is mostly statistics. It's the mathematics of insurance. So as exciting as that was, I did that for several years. I did it, worked at an insurance companies, worked at a consulting firm as a mathematical modeler. And then during that time, I got a master's degree in information systems management. So I was really technical. I was technical for a lot of years. I was looking at mathematical models, programming, processes. I did a lot of process improvement work, which seemed to be pretty natural for me. Consulting work. At one point, I even got to start up a consulting business within a company. So that was really interesting. I think when you're a process person and you're really technical, there's a point in your life where you shift over to what is actually driving the process, and that's the people behind the process. And if you're not connecting well with the people, then the process doesn't really matter. My brother got me interested in Strengths Finder. He handed me the assessment at one point. He's really self-aware. He's an entrepreneur and is always, you know, trying to figure not only himself out, but how to do things well to have a successful business running. I got into Strengths Finder. I thought it was really interesting. I started running workshops and team building activities. And lo and behold, one of my strengths was learner. So I love to learn things, master them, and then teach them back to others to affirm my own learning. And I began teaching others about StrengthsFinder, both on a personal level, where we sit down and do a one-on-one consultation, an individual consultation. But then I also started really nailing down how to give workshops, both domestically and internationally. So in that, what I mean by that is in person and also through remote situations, and making them really interactive and interesting and engaging. So that you could, you know, within 4 hours, take an entire team through this strengths session that allowed them to get to know what is strengths, what is Strengths Finder, or they call it Clifton Strengths now. Gallup switched the name on us within the last couple of years. And what is it all about? What is the philosophy behind it? And then how do I use it for myself? But also, how do I get to know others in that fashion? And then how do I work with them effectively on a team? And then I've done a lot of sessions, you know, with managers and sitting there and mediating sessions between managers and their employees, as well as talking to leadership about, you know, how do they implement a strengths-based culture in their organization? What, you know, what types of things do you need to do? What are the attitudes you need to have? It's been a fascinating journey to go from being a mathematician to working with people in the people realm. So like you said, Robert, I'm not necessarily, when people look at my background, they're not necessarily saying, oh, you're super qualified for this HR role. But I have been doing the strengths-based work for over 6 years now, and it's been great.
And I've fully bought into the process of kind of looking at people's strengths as a way of differentiating themselves and putting them in positions for success. I mean, you and I worked at Saber for a couple of years on this, where we had an entire organization of UXers, user experience designers and researchers, take this test, the StrengthsFinder test at the time, and look at their strengths, but also see how others perceive them. And you would do workshops, you would do one-on-ones. We would really scope out what spoke to them and what really drove them intrinsically and try to map that to professional goals and other things. For that kind of work, do you also do that with other organizations and other groups? Has that line of work continued for you?
Yes, and it has. And it's been interesting to also expand it. A question I got recently was, how do we map our customer service agents to our customers? Like, you know, how do we decide which customer service agents should be working with which customers? So it was fun to see, okay, well, what matters to you from a customer decisioning standpoint, and how does that map back to strengths and therefore map back to particular individuals that might be better suited to tend to a particular customer? So for example, if you have a really strategic customer, then if you have a really strategic customer service agent, that might be a better match than somebody who's more tactical. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. Yep. So that's been really interesting to see how you can play into not only like customers, but if you're looking at particular products and what are the needs of the products.
You mentioned physical and remote global team workshops. You've done over 60, 70 of those, I believe, the last time we spoke. You've been across different industries. Frisco Connect was one of the conferences you spoke at. Same with Big Design, Perskolas. I mean, it's been all over the board. With all of those different impressions, what are some of the common themes you've found when kind of showcasing StrengthsFinder and Clifton Strengths and how that approach helps people kind of become the best versions of themselves?
Yeah, what I have found extremely interesting is that people, they just are not self-aware. And I think we have all been in that situation where we're going, I really don't know who I am. I know what I like. I know some things I do well, but I couldn't really tell you who I am, you know? And I think most people go through that they're just like, embarrassed to say it. You know, they're 40 years old in their career going, I really don't know who I am or how to describe it to someone else. One of the most interesting thing that I think StrengthsFinder does for people is gives them the language to really say, look, this is who I am. This is what I care about. This is what I can do for your business. And whether you're seeking a new job or you're in a current career, or you're a manager working with employees, it's so important to be able to communicate or verbalize, this is what I can bring to the table. These are my skill sets and my strengths, and this is what I will be doing and contributing to this environment or to this team, and here's where I need to partner. And when you know that, and you're able to partner well, and you're able to maximize your own strengths and not waste a lot of time and energy on other people's strengths, as far as like you trying to do what they're good at, then you get this maximum production within a team and within an environment. And I know, for example, where to spend my time, even as an individual contributor, as I work my way around a company. And when you do that, when you use your strengths and they're seen and everybody goes, oh, I should go to that person for this thing, then all of a sudden you're creating a brand, you're creating a presence that everybody knows you for. And everybody says, oh, do you need this thing over here? You should go to so-and-so. You become really valuable to the people and therefore the business. And you just have a ton of success because you're in your zone and you're at your best. You're totally engaged and you're performing really, really well.
And your environment reflects that. To your point, people will seek you out for your specific approach, your point of view, what you're known for. Mm-hmm. And if that comes from a position of strength, of self-awareness, then it's a force multiplier. You
it
really
is.
Not only love to do what you do, but the people that come to you respect that knowledge that you have.
Very much. That's correct.
And I'm a testament to the process that you've worked through with guiding people on strengths. For instance, when we had conversations early on about the five strengths that I have, one of the things that stuck out to me and that you had said to me was you like doing a lot of things all at the same time and you can handle multiple things at the same time and you're perfectly fine with it.
And actually motivated by that, right?
Like, correct.
Demotivated by not having a lot going on.
Correct. And you also, beyond kind of emphasizing strengths, the things that you did communicate in our sessions were, these are the people that you want to partner with. These are the individuals you want to seek out that really can benefit you and complement you in really good ways. So by virtue of those conversations, I have always sought out strategic-minded people. Mm-hmm. I've sought people that had more empathy than I am, because with my strength set, I tend to come across as being non-feeling. Mm-hmm. And just recognizing where I can really excel and where I need other people to kind of take what I'm doing or what we can partner with and move it forward. That's what's been really insightful for me by working with you.
Yeah. And it sounds like you even got a little more insight into the perception of yourself, because those are two separate things, right? How you are perceived versus who you really are. You know, you may be perceived as not being empathetic. So somebody might say he doesn't care, but that's not been my experience, right? Working with you has been, wow, this guy really cares. But it's just a matter of how that's interpreted by others. And that could be when they first meet you or as they get to know you, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's great that you brought up that point, that it's not only a self-awareness tool, but also self-awareness around the perception of yourself to others as well. That's great.
And for the students and other graduates, like say from University of Texas, Dallas, or University of Dallas, mm-hmm. Texas, yeah. I think. The work that you did there when you were meeting with students, the engagements that you had with one-on-ones and with counseling and working with other folks, the overriding theme is that some folks will take your approach and your perspective and take it as gospel and kind of go through the motions and learn from it. Others will pick and choose what they like to hear and kind of move forward with it. But the bottom line is that I've seen more often than not that you have a really good way of showcasing what you perceive and what the tests show as strengths and how to make them actionable, some paths to take, some things to think about. And that's what makes you really special, is that you just don't necessarily say, here's the data, here's what it is, now figure out what you need to do. You kind of go down the route of, here's where it seems like you could really play well. You show some possibilities without being too prescriptive.
Yes. And it's fun to listen to your perspective, because I'm really just engaging my own strengths, my own nature. For anybody that's listening, my number one strength is achiever. So first and foremost, I love to achieve, which is the action items that you are describing. Not only do I like to create a list of achievements for myself, but I like to do that for others. I like to dig down into the purpose, what we need to get to, and then break it down. And it actually comes from my top two strengths, because learners not only like to learn and teach and all that stuff, but we break things down really well so that we can learn things. So I'm able to break things down for others to help them learn the concepts, but then also break down that to-do list of, okay, you know, here are the 10 things. This is where you need to start to kind of start moving towards this path that you and I have discussed in our conversation. My number three is relator. So I absolutely love to learn about people.
And that's what we have in common too. We have that strength. Yep.
Yeah. Which is why we connect really well. Relators tend to really enjoy other relators. If they can relate. If they can't relate, that's another situation.
I can't follow you on actuarial science, but I can follow you on a lot of other things.
Oh, that's not true. I've heard you're pretty good at finance stuff. So what's interesting then is I'm just using my top strengths, right? I'm sitting there, I'm learning about people. It's so interesting to me to hear about their background and their passions. But then, you know, getting to a point of, well, you know, what do you want to do? And maybe that's different than what your experience has been, but what do you really want to do? And then there's a lot of key ways of getting to that, because a lot of people don't necessarily know what they want to do, but it's fun to dig in and ask a few key questions to figure that out. And then say, okay, now that we know what you want to do, how do we combine your background and all these great things you've done over the past 5, 10, 15, 20 years and make it happen, make your passion happen? And that means not disregarding everything that you've already done. Because a lot of people will say, I'm trying to shift careers. How do I just shift over? And it's like, well, you don't. That's not the answer. The answer is to combine everything that you have done and move over into what what you want to do. You're basically using it as leverage, your past as leverage.
It's an ongoing narrative that you have to basically, like you said, learn from, leverage, says make it as a continuation, but it's a slight shift in a different direction, trying something new.
Exactly. Because, for example, when I was making my shift, I was still working for Sabre. I was still in a technical role. I was just starting to do these other workshops at a technical company. And so to me, that was sort of bridging the gap, right? I was still at a technical company. I was still doing technical work, but I started implementing people workshops to see how that would go at a technical company.
The great thing about how you look at strengths, and I know I'm waxing poetic a bit, but I do recall some of the engagements we've had with interns at Sabre.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of the fascinating combinations, even at their top five, and how when their strengths have been explained, how they've openly struggled with the one person I believe had this side of empathy and another side for strategic, yet they were in slight conflict and he didn't quite know what to do with them.
Yeah.
And if those are where the really interesting conversations start, or with our friend Yusra, who is someone that is a dynamo when it comes to like forward progress and having action and everything else, and just seeing what kind of role they could have in the future and where they could go. We see the possibilities, but it's trying to figure out what's in their head and what they're thinking and how that maps to what you discover through your analysis.
And let's use Yusra as an example. She's a wonderful example of someone who, when we spoke, she has an incredible background. She's the interesting mix of social butterfly and introverted intellect. Like, oh my gosh, you can be both. Yes, she is both. She has woo as a strength and she has intellection as a strength. She knew she wanted to get a job at Sabre. She didn't know exactly what to do. So she was sort of fiddling around with various things that she could do. And, you know, I really guided that. I think I had an advantage because I had worked for Sabre. I knew what the roles meant. I think that's really hard, right? When you're doing job interviews, you don't really know what the roles mean based on the paper description.
Sometimes when we're hiring, you don't even know ourselves. We just sound there. So it's like, what's the best person we could possibly get? And then we figure it out once they're there.
Once you get in there, exactly. And so she was really looking at project management roles and a couple of other things. But, you know, she has a neuroscience background, which means she's really into psychology and she has a natural flair for influencing others in sales. You know, she has a marketing background as well. So again, you see that in her strengths, right? Marketing is her woo. The neuroscience was the intellection. I said to her, we really, really, really should look at a product manager role. And at Sabre, that is decision maker. And it's working with the customers and with the multiple teams. You're kind of that center of the wheel. But you get to have influence. You get to sell. You get to be personal. But you also have to do a lot of digging from a research standpoint to understand the market, the competitors, the functionality of the product, et cetera, et cetera. So it was like that sweet mix of what exactly was needed and what she brought to the table. And we did end up, sometimes these things just fall into place. We did end up having a position for her that she did get hired for. And she's been put in a very difficult position because the director left and the manager left. And so it's just been her now to manage this product by herself. And she is stepping up to the plate. It's amazing to watch because, you know, she has it in her. As long as she feels like she can just, you know, go and have the authority to go, it's actually a really strong match for her. So I'm excited to see what she does with this really difficult situation over the next 6 months. I have a feeling she's gonna get to shine. And it really is just because her strengths are already matched to what needs to be done anyway. So.
And I know she has a preference to having a really supportive cultural professional environment where she works. I think she would, if she was ever in a leadership position, she would probably emulate that. And it would be one of the better organizations you probably either read or hear about. Funny enough, when you made that conflict or that difference between somebody who's an introverted intellect and somebody who is outgoing social butterfly, I would see that in action when she went to our meetups a couple of times. She would be very social, but then she would pick her engagements. You could tell that she was just kind of observing, kind of studying what people were saying, kind of getting an assessment of what it is. But then when it was time for her to kind of engage, it was kind of like, whoa, that's the other side. It was a flip. So that would speak to that narrative you're talking about.
And another thing that we discussed for her is to really start putting a lot of time and energy into her YouTube channel called Gut Feeling, which is a place where she gets to host people on her channel and be extremely social and win the audience over and be influential. But at the same time, really dig into the topics that interest her, which are pretty deep, complex topics. Again, along the lines of neuroscience, you don't have very many scientific people who are extremely social like she is. So it's something that we want her to use to her advantage.
And for people that we've both interacted with and have had the strengths consult with, I mean, I could count on my hand the number of people that I'm not actively tracking, but keeping an eye on because I see just the potential in young designers, researchers, leaders, how they're evolving and how they're going about it. Like Smita Karan is one person, very business-minded designer that it wasn't the right environment for a previous employer, but now where she is, she's really getting the chance to showcase what she can do. There's Pri Hussain, who is very much into neurosciences, had a really good futurist mindset, but coupled that with a couple other strengths, and now she's doing really well at Pivotal. Alex Ornelas, who's now over at SiriusXM, where she was really just fundamentally not on the same level with other people in terms of she was like three levels above, given the chance to really showcase what she can do. And now she's hiring staff. She's really making a name for herself. And it's wonderful to see, especially fantastic. For someone like myself, who's very much into people and professional development. It's fantastic.
It's wonderful. It's fun. I hadn't gotten to hear all of that, where all these lovely ladies have gone. So it's really great to hear that they're all having success.
Yeah. And it should be noted that some people will really enjoy StrengthsFinder and really go with it and kind of see where it leads. Others will kind of see it as like a nice to know and they'll continue on and maybe they'll alter it slightly. And others will just see it as like Myers-Briggs or something else where it's something that it's an exercise to go through for self-awareness, but there really isn't anything they want to carry forward. And that's totally fine. From my standpoint as a manager, I thought it was something that could be just detrimental to how a strengths-based organization could work. But I found that you have to kind of pick and choose where it seems to make sense and engage. And I think that the example I gave previously of people that are excelling are because I was able to work with them in multiple ways, as well as the strengths-based kind of approach.
Yeah, that's such a good point. You know, strengths is just a tool. It's a way to open up conversation, but if you don't have a good manager, it doesn't really, it might not.
It dies on the vine. It just doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. You really need a manager who believes in it, takes ownership of it and implements it into his team, you know, every week, quarter, every discussion. I say over and over again to managers, are you asking your people consistently all the time? Do you have the opportunity to do what you do best every day? Do you have the opportunity to do what you do best every day? And if you don't know what you do best, then we need to figure that out by trying lots of different things. And then we need to get you doing what you do best every day so that you're engaged, you're happy, you're productive, you feel like your career is meaningful and you're having success and you're achieving the things that you want to achieve. And at the same time, for the company benefits from that person's productivity. It's just a win-win-win.
I want to showcase another dimension of your professional career that you're doing right now with Saber Labs inside of Saber Corporation.
Yeah.
You've got the role as a principal innovation catalyst, and I've read and seen your work that you've been doing with blockchain, design thinking. Can you kind of go into it a little bit without giving away any intellectual property, of course, some of the research that you've been doing and some of the work that you've been doing over the past year?
Saber Labs is the team within Saber that propels an idea. So if you have an idea that's interesting and maybe new, or okay, customers need this thing, or the marketplace is going this direction, so we should consider looking at this, or here's this new technology and we need to test it out and see what it's like. And is it, you know, how's it going to pan out in the travel industry? How's it going to pan out for Sabre? My team prototypes these types of things. And if they are things that customers want, such that we could make revenue from it, then we continue to accelerate the development of that particular idea. And I'm being a bit vague here because it could be anything. We're really open to what does the business need. We're also looking at where is technology going. We're looking at it from two different aspects, as well as who do we have on the team to help push this forward. Because if you don't have the right expertise or you don't have the right skill set on the team, and again, this comes back to matching up, you know, the business with technology, with strengths and skill set, then it's a bad choice. You know, you've got 50 to 100 things that you could choose to innovate on. So it's really, you have to be really picky and specific about which things you're choosing, so that you're at least, you're not ensuring success, but at least you are guaranteeing a successful learning out of it.
Because you can engage on multiple levels. It could be augmented reality, robotic processing automation, artificial intelligence, virtual reality. I mean, literally there's so much out there where the technology is advancing. You have to kind of pick and choose what makes sense.
Yeah, you have to pick what makes sense for the people you're working with. You have to pick what makes sense for the business from a business needs, and you have to think about where travel is going, and then technology as well. So it's combining all of those things to test and learn and figure out whether you need to pivot in the business or whether what we're building is actually meaningful and impactful to the community.
What do you really enjoy about that role the most?
So my favorite thing to do in a corporation, and maybe it's not just in corporation, but let's say outside corporation, I love building businesses. I really, really enjoy starting from the ground up and having to figure out how to make something into something that produces a quality product, and it's something that customers value and are happy to pay for. You know, at one point when I was in Sabre, I got to help build a consulting business around what they called debit memos. And that was the most fascinating thing I'd ever done, where I got to work with customers, you know, dive into their processes, see what they needed, come back to the business, see what products that we had already or what did we need to build in order to help these companies save money or generate revenue. And then, you know, package that all up for them and show them the value to them if they were to purchase these products or build these things with us. And then they were like, yeah, this is awesome. You know, we need to prove it out though. So then we had to do some, you know, proof of concepts and prototyping. And we actually had to prove out these concepts that we were proposing worked. And then as we did that with them, we monetized it. We said, okay, this is the value that you're getting. This is what we agreed on that you wanted to pay for it. And we made the business, really. And it was a working business. We made sure that the effort on our side to produce the results that we need to produce was minimal. So we tried to really focus in on being lean, so our expenses were low. And then we tried to also produce enough value to the customers that they paid us a lot of money on top of it. So that's a good business working model, right? When you're making lots of revenue and your expenses are low and you've got cash flow. That was so much fun. And we did that within a year. I mean, we just hammered through that and produced those results within a year. And then the second year we sort of got it more into a steady state. But to me, that's probably been the most fulfilling thing I've ever done in my whole career.
Would you ever revisit that again with something that you do? Or would you, I know that you've started Strengthology. Would you be interested in kind of taking this full board to the point where it's a viable model? You're pretty much the head of it and you're growing a business out of it?
Yeah, I think it's smart to create lots of options. So I'm always joking around with people because I do have three jobs. And everybody's like, wow, you have three jobs. Why do you have three jobs? I'm like, well, you just never know. You never know what you're going to have. And so it's always good to have a diverse set of options. I'm a fitness instructor, which doesn't pay much, but it certainly is really, really fun. And there are a lot of options even in that industry or vicinity if I ever wanted to take my coaching, my strengths coaching, or my technology knowledge to that industry. I could do that because I now have a background in it. And then I also work for Sabre, and then I started my own strengths consulting business that, like we've talked about, where I do individual consulting as well as workshops and speaking events and all these different types of things. And so it's been really fun to dig into that and figure out, again, how to build this business to make the model work, which is get that pipeline of clients coming in. There's places where you have to market and give your services for free so that people actually get to experience them and share them with others. And then there's a point where you get to monetize that as well. And so figuring out that balance and, you know, of course, figuring out how to be an entrepreneur and do your taxes and like all these functional things too. There's that aspect. But to me, that's fun. It's really fun to figure it out. It's really fun to figure out what customers want, how you actually add value, how you actually show that you're adding value and that people are having results because of this intangible coaching thing you're doing for them. And of course, monetize it so that you can have income and run a successful business. And let's not forget creating efficient processes on the back end. That takes time too.
That's true. Yeah. What's really interesting is that and I know you mentioned you were a fitness instructor, but you've been doing it over 10 years. That's correct. Is something that that's been part of your lineup for a while. It's funny because your company that you started called Strengthology really could encompass both the physical and the mental, but it's not where you've necessarily paired that. You've concentrated on doing and talking to people's strengths primarily.
Yeah, and I'm more than happy to talk about how to use your strengths in a physical aspect if anybody is interested in that, because as a fitness instructor, I get to know my class and I get to know their strengths. And so I know how to motivate each person, even in a physical environment, which has been really fun.
Do you tend to identify people early on of what kind of strengths they could have without really knowing?
Yeah, I do now that I know them so well and I've seen so many examples and I listen really closely to what they're saying and why they're saying it. And so I am able to guess them fairly accurately unless, you know, someone's got a lot of walls up or just doesn't want to share things. But typically I can guess 3 out of 5 pretty accurately.
And do you remember my top 5 just out of curiosity?
I remember your analytical. I remember your arranger and your relator and your restorative, and I'm missing one somewhere there. I'd have to, discipline. You have discipline.
There you go.
Yes, I do. I remember all 5.
We've gone over them several times, so I imagine that I think I've kind of given you some prep for that question.
Yeah. I know I didn't get them quite in the right order, but.
Nah, it's okay. I don't need it. I wasn't really looking for that, but I figured you were well aware of it. Plus, I wrote in an article about the Global Virtual Designs from back in November. So I wanted to tie that into it. So if everyone wants to figure out more about what you do and who you are beyond this podcast, where would they go online to learn about all of that?
Yeah, I invite everybody to join me on LinkedIn. I've really been using that as my platform to meet people, to have exchanges through the private messaging functionality on LinkedIn. I've got my videos posted out there. If you reach out to me, I'm happy to send you some, you know, documentation on StrengthsFinder. I'm also happy to accept your strengths, take a look at them, send you some customized visuals, as well as, of course, coordinating a time to coach you through your strengths if you'd like to do that. Or, you know, if anybody's listening that needs a speaker on strengths or needs someone to come in and run a workshop in their company, or for their teams. You know, I've had all kinds of teams ask me to do workshops for them, even like, you know, a Young Living team one time asked me to do that. So there, I'm very, very open to what do you need? What would you like me to come do for you? And let's just talk about it and negotiate and figure out what works for both of us. But that's where I do most of my business is through the LinkedIn platform today.
And if anyone has a glance at your profile, they can tell right away if they scroll down that you're highly recommended. It's part of your relator strength that I also have is that we tend to really value the relationships we do form and try to make sure that they can last as long as possible, especially on the professional side. So that's one thing that if anyone listening ever needs a referral for Brandy, probably within a stone's throw of somebody that you may know has probably heard of her or what she does. But yeah, I would recommend her personally just because of how long I've worked with her. So.
And I actually just looked out there. I was really proud. I've almost caught up the recommendations that I've given to the number that I've gotten. I'm trying to surpass that. I want to give more recommendations than I'm actually getting.
Funny enough, I think of the same balance too when I look at that. When I was leaving Sabre, I wanted to make sure that I had given, even if they were unprompted, the kind of recommendations that would really help people professionally.
Yeah.
So yeah, I never want to feel like I'm the person that's just like, oh, it's all about me. It's more along like how, what can I give that's sincere and really would help give the right impression about who people are and what they do.
And a lot of people for me have said, you know, Brandy, I just can't speak to it the way you do. You know, you have all this knowledge around StrengthsFinder. How do I, you know, how do I state myself in an interview process? I really, really like to take the time to formulate what we've talked about in the session, what's important to them and how that relates back to their strengths. And I like to formulate that for them and give that to them through a recommendation so that not only can employers and people who are looking for, you know, HR professionals who are looking for people to hire, I want them to get a good sense of the person, but I also want that individual to always be able to look back to that recommendation and be reminded that, remember, this is what you're good at. These are the realms you should sit in. This is where you're going to excel and be the most productive and have the most success. So I think it's really important to create that for people so that they always have it to be reminded of what their coach saw in them, you know, during the session.
Absolutely agree. Well, Brandy, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast, and I hope you have a good rest of the week.
Thank you, Robert. This has been really fun. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks again for listening to the Dallas Design Sprints podcast. If you have a question or a comment on the show, be sure to email me at robert@dallasdesignsprints.com. You can also find Dallas Design Sprints on Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, Facebook, and even LinkedIn. Be sure to visit virtualdesignsprint.com for our upcoming global virtual design sprint happening in the month of April. Take care of yourself, and we'll see you next time.